I haven't missed my dad like this since I was 27 years old and I moved out for the first time with my brother. I haven't cried like this since then. So please bear with me, because I know you guys will understand this is hard, but I just found this in my dad's Bible. And the writing on the front of the thing doesn't do justice to what my dad is about. I'm going to show you what it looked like. Can you guys read that? My dad's brothers probably can appreciate this, and really, really close friends that have been able to see into his Bible. And him doing that shows he was serious about what he was doing. It was never sloppy. So I found this, and man, it broke my heart. So I didn't know my dad. I knew my dad loved God. That's not a doubt. But I didn't know the relationship. I knew his diligence. I knew what he did every day. I can tell you, you guys know. I just know what he did. So I'm so confident in where my dad's at. I have no doubts. None. Just so you know, I know my dad died what he wanted to do. No one can argue that with me. I mean, my dad loved cutting wood and his El Camino. And he had them both right there. Without a doubt, I know he loved his family. I know he loved my mom, my brother and sister. And that's what him and God were about. So, there was a time that I lived in such a way that you would not be interested in knowing me. You would choose others for your companions, your friends. It's not so now. You come to me for advice, for encouragement, for assistance. I've come to know my Father, God, in such a way, when I am in need, and I consider what He has done for me and taught me, I am thankful. That's an understatement. I am in awe of my Father, God. I love Him for who He is. My life is good, and I praise Him. He did. I seek to please Him in all I think and do. And I know He did. My God, my joy will be if you see this in me and desire the same for yourself. That's really all He wanted. That's it. I got to live with Him for so long. I'm so spoiled. Thanks, Dan.
I'm Dave Harmson. I worked with David, and boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to have a short shelf life up here. David is somebody who had victory in Jesus Christ, and I'm sorely going to miss him until I see him again. That's about all I can say.
Thanks, David. I'm Bill Myers. Okay, I want to share about my friend David. And yes, I haven't been mourning, but I want to rejoice because I know where he's at. And so, things I remember. I remember the first time I met him. That was 10 years ago. I remember when I got the courage to ask this new guy, you want to join us in a Bible study prayer thing? Once a week? We've been doing it before work, like once a... Yeah. I had no idea he had such a passion about the Lord and about God's Word. And then another time I says, you know, one of our clients up there, I'm having him stack loads of wood, and so we go and cut wood. I thought I heard you say you burn wood. Do you like to cut wood? You want to cut wood with us? He loves to cut wood. He taught me how to cut wood. But he's very meticulous about loading his car. I threw one piece of wood in his car, and I never threw another piece of wood in his car for 10 years. I made fun of him cutting show wood. He would measure each stick within a 16th of an inch. Have you ever seen some of his stacks? They look like a house. One time we're out there and I dropped a tree and I said, okay, everybody back their cars up. I dropped it 180 degrees. Went, nope, boom, everybody's car was fixed, was sitting, but they're out of the way. he proceeded to do an in-depth study for the next 2 months, learning how to drop trees, tried to instruct me, so I just quit dropping trees. He was a very opinionated man. Something he believed, it was politics. And he always knew the right thing to do, and he would educate us. He had this theory that, I don't know, maybe down here, he had this theory about childbirth order. And all of us were part of a survey that he did anybody on how you acted, what you did, and what you would become. And if it didn't fit, well, maybe she had a miscarriage and didn't know about it. This is it. But how did it explain the boy or girl thing? I don't know. And he enjoyed doing his own car maintenance. He had over $800,000 on that car. He let me start it up once and back it up, but I actually got to drive it down here last week. And talking about wood, he only stacked so much wood in it, but he keep track of how much wood. He's hauled over 130 cords a little bit at a time. Yes. He has a log, in his, if you look in his glove box, he has a log of every oil change, every spark plug, every screw and bolt he's put in it. I bought $20 of gas, and I forgot to write it in the book. So what I did was I put the receipt there. It's with his stuff.
Yeah. He'll be checking.
Yes. One thing we did as men is that when we met together and prayed together, we prayed for each other's family, for each other. We made a commitment to brother to each other to be accountable. And last time we did that was Thursday before he died. We prayed for Lynn, all the kids, individually. So it's amazing how God's Spirit works. Yeah. And so we had another, it's Thursday, so Thursday morning we had another meeting. And we're studying 1 Peter. I said, empty chair there. So we read through 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm taking up David's time since he wasn't up here.
He was short.
Yes, so I'm taking his time. There was a schedule, so. He promised he'd drag me off, so, but I'm taking David's time. So, 1 Peter 3. Here's where we're reading in chapter 8. And I just made a comment about, you know, David's not here. It's not going to be the same. Well, here's what we read. All of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain from his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And David's one of those men that made the choice to do that. And so he was an example to not only me, but a lot of people. And finally, a lot of people came up and talked to me. I went in early in the morning to go through his personal belongings at his desk, go through his computer, and people would come up because he would go to work early so he could see, there's two sets of crews in our office. There's surveyors, get in early, get their work, and they're off to a work job. Then there's engineers and architects and everybody else, they come in later. But he's in there early every day. And so he had relationships with these young surveyors, and these surveyors that go in and out, and they would come and talk to me and share. So it's hard to get stuff packed up because I've seen all these relationships that I really didn't know much about. But I got a letter from a former employee, a gal that worked with us, and she wasn't able to be down here, but she sent a letter, and I'm going to read a portion of her letter before I go down. And she called David Mackie Mo. All right. It wasn't until, this is what she wrote, I'm going to read this portion of it. It wasn't until years later that I found out that he disliked being called Mac. What do you do when you have three Davids at a workplace? First, I want to say to the family that he loved you with all his heart. It showed through what he said and the actions of how he lived. When I first found out the day he died, it brought mixed emotions. I first was greatly saddened by the loss, but soon came to a peace knowing that he died with his boots on. Yes, I know that dying with your boots on means dying by putting up a good fight. And in many ways, he did this. And then she says, but for me, it means he died doing what he loved. Man, did he love to cut wood. He once told me that he was running out of places to put it on his property. I asked, why are you searching for more wood? He said, because others may need some. And it relaxes me, and I find joy doing it. He was also was working for the Lord. That man did good works every day. I have fond memories of the talks he had with all of us here at Harmson's. He always knew if we needed to talk, and he made time for it. He was soon dubbed the preacher man of the company. He would pull out scripture for almost anything you needed help with or discussion. And I think he sensed that he could do good works at Harmson's and at the same time get a pretty good wage. He was also a very smart engineer, and Harmson's greatly benefited from all that as well. I will always remember the great debates of scripture that he and David Harmson would have. They were never mad at each other, but boy, could their voices be heard all throughout the building. And then there was teasing that went on about Democrats versus Republicans. And then I'm going to skip the end. There was something else here. Oh, yeah. When something really tickled him and he laughed, he had a laugh that you felt like, okay, this is the time we need to call 911. Because you weren't sure that he would even recover. Yes, he has a special place in my heart, as I know with all of you. Yes, a loss, but he did die with his boots on, and we should smile at that, knowing that we will see him again.
My name is Bill Bowser, and I'm an electrician. And I met David a number of years ago on a job site, actually. I was wiring a building for Boeing, and David was the project manager for Boeing. And Jamie said, well, you've known my dad so long, I was probably an apprentice, right? No, not quite that long. But we enjoyed working together. I had the great privilege of working with him, and I learned right off the bat that he had a tremendous heart for the Lord, because it seemed no matter what we were talking about, the Lord always came up in the conversation. And he was extremely encouraging. And one thing that I loved about David is that he loved the Word of God, and he knew it so well. And he applied it to his life daily. If he had problems, there'd be a scripture that would come to him, and this would help him through. So he was an encourager to me in that time, and certainly all these days, and he's been an extremely good friend and brother, and certainly miss our brother David. David started going to this church here about
10 years
ago, and at that time, we didn't have a church building. We were living in Carriage Crest, was it?
Emerald Park.
Emerald Park.
Let's see, 10 years ago, that would be Sunrise.
We were vagrant.
Vagabonds.
Anyway, I was a setup guy, and I had the trailer with all the chairs and the sound system in it and everything, and I would get there early Sunday morning to set everything up for the church, and David started to come and help set up. And he was there every Sunday morning, very faithful, very helpful. And we did that for a couple of years until we finally had our own building here. And then we didn't know what to do because we were used to getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning every morning and meeting, and we just loved to meet together, so we started having coffee. So David and I and a few other brothers have had coffee every Sunday morning without fail for, I don't know, 8 years maybe, 8 years, Sunday morning. But I think thinking about David and thinking about his life and all the great things that could be said, I think for me, boiling it down to one word would be faithful. And David was faithful. He was faithful to me. He was faithful to his family. He was faithful to his brothers and sisters, people at work. And I know that he is hearing those words that we all would long to hear from our Lord and Savior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bill.
Jamie, I got to tell you, I was there when your father discovered a 0.3 millimeter pen. Yeah. David has probably about three Bibles in the house right now that are every page has copious notes along every margin written in at least 0.3 millimeter. I don't have eyes good enough to read it. But David was meticulous about, as he read, he would have a question or a thought or something on it. He wrote it in the margin. He was a journaler. I believe you've still got lots of journals at home. You'll probably have a lot of fun going through them. How do you talk about someone that you were, was a brother and a friend for 22 years? We moved up here just down the street from here in 1986, January 1986. And a couple months before that, we had visited a little church that was down on Benson. And when we were coming up, they had made an announcement in the church, there's a new family moving in town. They're going to be part of our church, and if you can help out, maybe you can be there at such and such time to help them unload. Two people showed up, Dale Jackson, Dave McMullen. And Dave worked hard that day. It was a rainy, sludgy, mushy day, and we had to load everything into the basement of the house. And as I worked alongside him, I said to myself, this is someone I want to get to know. He had a lot of interesting thoughts. It wasn't anything, it wasn't a big spiritual move or anything. It was just, he was fun to talk to. And that began at least a solid 2 years of every Saturday morning at Golden Steer Bible Study. Either me, just me and him or whoever wanted to show up. And pity the waitress that complained that morning. Sometimes the waitress would come up and say, oh, it's been a, he'd ask sincerely, how are you doing? I had a bad weekend. Well, can we pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a religious prayer. It was a relational prayer. Someone who had a relational conversation ongoing with the Lord, he would carry him into it. Bill, I met you through Dave. 1986. Dave said, there's someone you got to meet. I want to take you down and show him. He's building a really neat house. He's a good Christian brother. And by the way, he plays bluegrass. And guess who was laying carpet on the stairs? But Dave and I, we went through a lot. James, Elsie, you're back there. Part of the church at Dave's. We were on a advisory committee at a church. The church was falling apart. We didn't have anything else. We started meeting at Dave's. Dave had just bought this house a year or so before. Didn't buy any furniture. He didn't need it. He had a bed. He had a trestle table with a chair. So we bought a bunch of chairs. We came in there. There are five families. We had church every Sunday there. I really think it was at least 18 months, almost 2 years we did that. And it was some of the highest points of Dave's life because his home was open for fellowship. And if I had to say one thing about Dave, that's what his life was Christian fellowship. You could sit down with him just one-on-one, and I mean, we've had some deep conversations. We've gone over the Bible back and forth and argued this and that. And he seldom gave in. He would say, you know, I really appreciate your intensity on that point. But the conversation, well, you couldn't sit down with Dave very long before you get into the Word. And we could discuss it back and forth. He was my brother. We didn't have to always agree, but he was my brother. And he could tell me anything, and I could tell him anything. And he'd pray for me, and I could pray for him. You kids have been a result of prayer over years and years and years and years and years. Never left his heart, never left his mind. He kept referring back to a thought or a vision or a sign you had one time that the Lord will return what the locust has eaten. And, you know, I could, you know, 22 years with a man, I could spend a lot of time. I really believe we're close. And there's no one I consider it a bigger honor to have been close to. He was a supporter. He was an encourager. And most of all, he was a really, really good friend. But when it was fellowship, you sat down and you talked, he would look at you. When you got ready to leave, he'd say, "We've had church." Yeah, we've had church. You know, he loved it. He was a fellowshipper. You know, I kind of think he got it from the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Glenn and Craig, if you would come up and take a mic each. Glenn, if you want to come on this side. Craig, if you take this mic there, and Glenn, you... Yeah. Glenn, you can go on that side. Do you want to start? We're going to start with Lee. And then if you would like to give a tribute, make yourself known to either of these two men, and they'll come to you as best they can. If you're up in the balcony, maybe you can make your way down so we can hear you.
Okay, that's great. I wrote these things down because I couldn't trust myself to continue without losing my composure, so it's a little bit more serious than Jerry and Bill. I'm going to say some things that most, if not all of you, already know. David was a devoted father, which you've already heard, and a husband, honest, hardworking, God-loving, and a gentleman in casual attire. He would put aside his own agenda to help others. Many times he would come to my place and help my wood cutting. At times he would cut the tree while I pulled it back from the neighbor, from falling over the neighbor's fence with my tractor. He was very careful, meticulous, and I can remember him putting a safety chain around the alder tree because these things will barbiture on you and you could get killed by them. So he would always put a safety chain around the tree before he fell it. He wasn't.
He learned that here on the job. He learned he needed to do that here on the job.
Oh.
It goes back to almost losing one.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember?
Marshall's truck was out.
Marshall's truck pulled it back. Yes.
He was and is my spiritual mentor. He put me to shame with his biblical knowledge. I admire his grasp of scriptures. We would even converse during service and be instructed by a couple behind us to shush. If Kurt and Jean are here, they will remember that. I imagine David had a lot of favorite verses. Don't know if this was one of his, but here's one I picked. Romans 6, 7 through 9. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Brother David, he preferred to be called David. He let me know that. Of all my heart, all my dearest friends, I consider you one of the top logs in the woodpile of life. Thank you, my brother, for caring for us. Your face goes before me. Your face goes before me. Save me a place beside you. I frequently think of you. Thank you for being part of my life.
Just a fond memory. I'm Kim Bowser. We always had a big thing of cocoa in our cupboard, and I think I'll always remember when we drink cocoa. That David often would call up and say, "Do you have any cocoa?" And that was usually a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, and he just would want to come over and talk and hang out. And so I'd have the cocoa ready. And I know he was one of the few people that my husband would stop whatever he was doing on those days and just come in and relax and chat with David. So
Thank you, Arlene.
My name is Mike Foster, and member of the church here. And David was a very special individual, especially to my wife, who's gone through some real health issues. And David would always take care of her, basically, and bring her home if I had left early. So Julie was one person that got to drive into El Camino, which was a big deal. He was just an outstanding man, and my wife, I think, is a very intelligent person, except for the fact that she married me. But David would always look to Julie and say, make sure that she understood what was being said in the Bible study and in the discussion groups and everything else. And I think I got a very, very large praise from him a few times, too, because he would turn to Julie and say, yeah, you know, Mike is growing. He's getting better. That's pretty much a double pat on the back, I think. And he was a man that, as Lee said, dressed casually. He had the three-piece Carhartt suit, jacket, shirt, and pants. But he was an amazing man and a very pleasant man and a man you got to know and feel friendly with the first day you met him. So we'll all miss him terribly.
And like I said in church, I agree with you. Could that man write small or what? And he would tell me, just look here. I'm in my Bible where I've written it down. It's like, David, I've got glasses on. I still can't see it. And he knew that my memory of the books of the Bible had left me. And so when we were trying to find the right page or where we were, he'd go, just a little further to the back. Okay, you're just about there, Julie. Okay, you got it? Okay. And so always encouraging, always look forward to seeing him. We'll miss him terribly.
For over 37 years, I've been delighted to be David's brother. And some of you have spoken about arguments and debates, and I don't want to start one with him now. I will say that on the cover of the program, the part about at one time in his life you would not have wanted to be his friend is humble, and it's not true. You would always have wanted to be his friend. If you had known him 40 years ago and you needed something, he would have been your first friend there to help you. And I say that from firsthand knowledge. his mother. And he is the product of that kind of faith. There's a family reunion going on right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dave McMullen was in the people business. He was adopted into a family and then taught by a father who was our God to be a people person. And whenever people were in need, he was there. And I wasn't privileged enough to know him very long, about 3 years. But this I found in the Bible when I first heard of Dave. He passed away. He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And David was a person who knew God personally. He didn't just know about him, but he had a relationship with him that was one-on-one. And that I loved about Dave. Dave was a man who was, like I said, adopted into his family. He was called by God and he responded. And that's why he was the person he is. When we saw Dave, what we didn't see was Dave McMullen. We saw the Spirit of God in a man that had been there and dwelt in there for a long, long time. That's who we saw. We saw God in a man named Dave McMullen. And I know that if you want to honor his remembrance, especially his children, his greatest joy would be found in another verse that we're going to promise. 3 John 4, he says, "I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth." And in honor of Dave McMullen, I'll take on his heritage and stay with the truth that he founded his life on that rock, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm glad also that his reception here is one of joy, because a Christian reception for someone who has died is our loss. And I'm sorry for the family that suffers such a great loss. But boy, you know, he wouldn't want it that way. And you all know that.
David, you're a great man. I love you a lot. You'll be sorely missed. It is David now. It's not Dave. When I first met David working on a contract for construction management for Boeing, first David invited me into his office. The first thing he said was, "Well, it's David." I never forgot that. And Bill, the story about the firstborn, it's a girl, it's going to look like a guy. My wife still repeats it a lot. David said it must be true. I was coming back from volleyball tournament last night, and telling my wife Jill, you know, about what happened to David. His cousin Skip had called me yesterday at work. And I said, we had our daughter Jana with us, and she was a little baby at the time, and we had a birthday party. We were living in Renton, and everyone brings their birthday gifts from Toys R Us and that sort of thing. But David comes in with we open up the gift, and it's a salt and pepper shaker. David was a strategic thinker. Somehow God let him get that salt and pepper. We still got the salt and pepper. Well, David, we'll see you someday. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe 5 or 10 years from now. But, you know, David, when it comes to Romans now that you're not down here in front of me, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I've got to read Romans. It's very good. Thank you.
Let me put one up here.
Hi, I'm Nancy from Harmson. I only had the privilege of knowing him since August, and I actually didn't get to know him until October when we found out we were like in spirit. But my favorite memories of him, and I miss him so terribly, was the political discussions. We solved every world problem, except no one listens, of course. And that I still hear things, and I just want to discuss it with him, and I really will miss that. God bless you.
I'm Bill Meyer's wife, and so I didn't see David on a regular basis, but ever since the year 2000 when we had our first grandchild, I would make a habit of coming into the office off and on, and our granddaughter, who was born in 2000, she's now 8, and grandson, her brother, is 5, is Allison and Nolan, and when they got old enough to walk around, they always found where David's desk was. And to a lot of people, he probably looked very gruff and you know, kind of scary. But to kids, he was just a big softie. He was a big teddy bear. And he always had a candy drawer. The kids always knew where the candy drawer was, and they'd stand in front of it. They wouldn't say anything, but they'd stand in front of it. And he always offered it to them. And he had black licorice and red licorice. Now, I love black licorice, but my grandchildren wanted nothing to do with the black licorice. He'd say, oh, here, wouldn't you like some black licorice? And they'd go, no, thank you. Can I have red? And one day, he said, okay. He says, look, Nana loves black licorice. Watch, she loves it. And I took a big bite, and I said, oh, this is good stuff. And I watched both my grandkids go, give it to Nana. But that was just his way of dealing with the kids, and he was so gentle with them and so sweet. And, I mean, they saw right through the gruff exterior. He wasn't gruff to them at all. He was just a big softy. So he was a very much of a child magnet, him and his candy drawer.
Thank you all for sharing your tributes to a man of God. And it's only appropriate now that we would express our praise to God, who is such a great God. And let's do that in song. And I think you'll be wanting to be standing to get the stretch.